Well, the site was at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, affectionately known as the Swamp to members of the Gator Nation, as they call themselves. And unfortunately for them today, they did not come out victorious. They were swarmed by some Eagles from a small town named Statesboro, Georgia. It was unexpected to pretty much everybody outside of Statesboro, but the Eagles got it done, or they G-A-T-A. You can fill in the blank there if you want to. They got after them aggressively, right?
Oh, yeah, good
possibly.
One.
Possibly. Yeah, and I'm Andrew Brown, and of course I'm joined by
Will Patton. And you know, Andrew, normally, and this is an opinion,
right?
But normally, you don't really want to be in a swamp.
Right.
And I have a feeling that at the end of the game, most of the Florida fans didn't want to be in the swamp any longer.
I feel like Will Muschamp might not want to be in a swamp much longer because it might be real difficult for him to stand around. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of troubling times there at the University of Florida.
Yeah, well, I don't think he has too much of a choice, really.
Right. There might be a new job for him in Athens, Georgia in a few weeks anyway.
Oh, too soon, too soon. But anyway, we wanted to start off just by talking, and Florida, it's been a weird season for Florida. Normally we wouldn't talk about this game to start with, but it is
right.
Really interesting that an FCS team knocked them off. And I'm really upset with myself, Andrew, because
yes.
I've been talking about this game
all season.
Yeah, all season. I've kind of had this on the tip of my tongue all season, saying that, hey, watch out for Georgia Southern. This is the kind of game that they excel at, and Florida might just be vulnerable enough to lose this game. And I should have gone with my gut when we went with the picks, because I did pick
right.
Florida to win this game, and they almost pulled it off at the end. But Georgia Southern comes out victorious 26-20, shocks the Gator Nation.
This is the first time that Florida has ever lost to an FCS team.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah. That's really crazy. There's lots of interesting stats from this game. Probably the most entertaining is that Georgia Southern did it without completing a pass.
Right.
Their quarterback Ellison threw the ball three times. All three times were incompletions. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They ran the ball extremely well. Had 429 yards of offense. I didn't hear the exact ranking, but that was in the top five for most rushing yards against Florida in their history.
Wow.
So that says a lot right there. Florida only managed 279 yards against an FCS defense.
Right. You can talk about injuries all you want. You have to be able to produce more yards of offense than that against an FCS team.
Yeah. I mean, you're just and they were making excuses for him on TV or on the broadcast. They were, saying, oh, all the injuries and stuff. But it doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, the guys that are on the Florida team, Florida has won national championships recently, somewhat recently.
Right.
And the recruits that you're getting are like 3-, 4-, 5-star recruits that are coming on the team. Your backups are 4-star recruits. I mean, you got the guys that you have on the line are highly recruited. It doesn't matter if there's any injuries. The guys that you have in your team are highly recruited, talented individuals. Most of the guys that play for Georgia Southern are guys that weren't even looked at by teams like Florida.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely nobody in an SEC school looked at these players. And they came in there and they ran all over this SEC defense that is supposed to be very good, and
right.
I don't know what the reason is. I don't know how do you explain something like this? I mean, it's
right.
almost
I don't
like
know.
when Appalachian State beat Michigan in 2007. I mean, how do you explain that happening to a team as talented as a Florida, even though they're having a bad season?
I think that last year when Florida lost to Louisville, the way that the announcers kind of explained it or kind of brushed it under the rug is, well, they didn't get up for the game because they weren't mentally ready. They didn't want to be there. Okay.
You didn't want to be in the BCS Bowl. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they didn't want to be in the Sugar Bowl. Okay. So really what that would come down to, of course, they're not going to say that, is poor coaching and the coach's inability to motivate the players. You look at USC, you can go all the way back to the bowl game against Georgia Tech last year. Maybe the players didn't want to be there, but that comes back to the coaches not being able to motivate the players. Now, a lot of times, they aren't going to say that about coaches because they want these SEC coaches to be good, but it really does come down to that. You look at USC now under Ed Orgeron, they look like a completely different team. This is a team now that's throwing for 300 yards of offense when under Lane Kiffin, they weren't mustering up 250 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't see any way that Will Muschamp comes back next year.
Yeah, if there was any doubt that he would be fired going into this game, I think the writing is on the wall now.
Writing is on the wall.
And we have to admit, we're recording this on Saturday night, so by the time you're listening to this, you know, there may already be an announcement that
sure.
he has been fired, but I don't know. I think Muschamp is, I think he's gone. I don't even think they're not going to beat Florida State no matter what.
Right.
So, you know, he might last till the end of the season, but I don't think it matters really.
It's interesting. I was reading on their message boards today, and several people mentioned that Jeremy Foley's hands were tied. I don't really know why. I feel like at Florida you have the money. So I don't really think there's going to be any buyout that can keep him there. So I don't really know. I don't see any way that he's going to still be there next year because, in my opinion, it comes down to coaching, and I feel like the players are not responding to what Will Muschamp is doing. Because you got athletes. Like, you can't deny that you have a lot of really good athletes on this team.
Oh,
even
yeah.
if they're the backups. Yeah. Even if they're the third string, they should be better than Georgia Southern. No disrespect to Georgia Southern. But Georgia Southern was a very well-coached team
today. And let's talk about Georgia Southern for a second. I mean, you could tell that they were ready for Florida. They were prepared
right.
for this game. Jeff Monken is a very, very, very good coach.
Right.
And Southern, they haven't had probably the season that they've wanted to have this
right.
year. They're 7-4. They went 4-4 in the Southern Conference, which is a big letdown for them. They're used to being in the playoffs every year and competing for the FCS National Championship, which they weren't eligible for anyway, which may be part of the reason why they didn't play as well in the Southern Conference because it didn't mean anything. But this is a statement win for their program, moving on to the bigger leagues, moving on to the Sun Belt Conference next year. This gives you a lot of momentum going into this transitional year, or the end of this transitional year. It probably is going to be very good for recruiting, especially the fan bases for the Gators and the Georgia Southern Eagles probably run into each other a little bit. So there might be some recruits in South Georgia or Northern Florida that, you know, watch this game and may think,
right.
hey, Georgia Southern's, you know, if you're like a 2-star, 3-star recruit, you know, that, you know, who knows, this type of game might make you change your mind. So very, very, very impressive win for Southern, beating a team that really had no business losing to them whatsoever. Jeff Monken, you know, he's a disciple of Paul Johnson. I liked him when he was at Georgia Tech. I was very upset to see him leave, but he's done some very, very good things at Southern, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do in the next few years. Not against Georgia Tech, obviously. Hopefully they don't do this kind of stuff to us next year when we play them. But
right.
Good win for their program. Big stepping stone. Good way to end the season for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do they not have one more game, Will?
No, that was the last game in their
schedule.
That was
schedule.
It? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Other happenings in
right.
The world of college football. And
I think there was more than one game today.
There was more than one game. Against two teams that were playing that were not necessarily FCS teams. Well, a lot of the games this week were, as we talked about in last week's podcast, teams going up against FCS teams. But not all of them were. One of the games, and we'll talk about more about the specifics of the game in the wrap-up, but one of them was Georgia and Kentucky.
Why are we even talking about this, Will?
What
significance does this have on anything? We all know this is going to be a blowout.
It was a blowout, Andrew, and the significance is Georgia may have lost their record-breaking quarterback for the season.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those things where, as a Georgia Tech fan, I'm kind of giddy about it. Is that the right word?
That is a word.
It is a word. I'm not... As a Georgia Tech fan, I'm not upset that it happened because it gives us a better chance of beating Georgia next week. But at the same time, you hate to see this kind of stuff happen.
Yeah. As far as injuries go, you hate to see this kind of injury because it's a tough rehab. I mean, you have a long road ahead, and that's unfortunate. I don't really know kind of how that's going to affect his draft status because as a player, that's what you have to worry about.
And again,
I don't know.
Again, we are recording this on, you know, Saturday night. Not all the news is out. The last I heard, he was going for an MRI, but it didn't look good.
Right. Well, apparently, I just read a tweet from a reporter saying Mark Richt did say that it was an ACL.
Oh, okay. So it was an ACL. Okay.
Right.
Well, yeah, and that is difficult to come back from, which means...
I mean, not impossible.
Not impossible, but it definitely means that he's done for the season. Possibly not the bowl game, but he's definitely not playing in a week. So, tough loss for Georgia. I guess, what does it mean for the Georgia Tech game? I don't know. I mean, Hudson Mason came in and played pretty well in Murray's place at the end of the game. Granted, it was against a very subpar Kentucky defense, but he did, you know, I think he went 13 for 19 with 180 something yards and a touchdown. So you got to figure that Georgia's going to be prepared for this game no matter what.
Right.
But it definitely doesn't help them that their star quarterback went down.
Right. I think basically the way to look at it is this. If you were to ask someone, including Coach Richt, who would you rather have play?
Yeah,
he would say Aaron Murray.
Definitely.
So
and what that allows us to do, Andrew, is maybe key in a little bit more on Gurley. Obviously, Hudson Mason's probably a better than average quarterback, but I think that it gives us the opportunity to maybe put an extra guy in the box to try to stop their running game, and that could be the difference. Right there, we have a. I feel like our defense is up to the challenge in this game. So, and obviously we'll talk about this much more in our next podcast. But something to keep your eye on in the next few days, and just reading the reports on what we can expect from Hudson Mason and what that means for Georgia's offense going forward.
Right, it'll be different. It'll definitely be a different set.
And, Andrew, before we get into all the happenings in the ACC and the SEC, I do want to talk a little bit about some stuff that went on outside of the conferences that we normally talk about.
Right.
A lot of weird games this week. Games where teams, highly ranked teams, went down, and not only went down...
Went down bad.
Several of them to look at. The first one is Oregon and Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely... It's interesting that we mention this because a guy I work with, before Oregon had lost to Stanford, said, well, here's the thing you have to look at, Andrew. He said, Stanford is going to beat Oregon, and if somehow Oregon survives against Stanford, Arizona is going to beat Oregon.
Now, why would he say that? Like, what was his reason? Because Arizona is kind of a middle of the road team. They're
right.
They're now 4-4 in the Pac-12 with this win.
He said basically. I mean, the most I could get out of him was he's like, it's going to happen, and the way Rich Rodriguez runs his run offense, they defend against it all the time, and they're bigger. So he said it was just a bad matchup for Oregon. So. I mean, I don't know. My thing is I'm probably going to listen to him when I'm doing all my sports betting. I don't know if he has an almanac from 2015 or not, but he knew. He definitely knew.
Yeah. Well,
his name is Biff Tannen, by the way.
Oh. Does he have a global industry that pollutes
Bifco?
The... Oh, Bifco. Bifco, yeah. There you go.
And he has a big cane, too. He hits me with it.
That's for another podcast. Another podcast. Yeah. But no, Arizona easily beats Oregon 42-16. Not ever really close at all.
Yeah, they just came out of the gate firing, and Oregon just had no idea what to do.
Yeah, so that was really surprising. The other one, maybe not quite as surprising, but the score was surprising, and that was Baylor at Oklahoma State. Baylor gets creamed 49-17, and again, this one wasn't even that close because Baylor had to score a couple of touchdowns late. Just to get that 17. So, yeah.
I don't know. That's a weird one. I thought they were going to win that game, honestly.
Well, you look at... Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, Baylor, their offense all year was averaging... I mean, they had the number one offense in the country. They were averaging over 60 points a game. And, I mean, I know Oklahoma State is good. Oklahoma State only had one loss in the season, and that was a weird one to West Virginia early in the season. They had been pretty good besides that one game, and they showed up in this one, and they beat the pants off of Baylor. So that basically means now that there's only really three undefeated teams left, with Alabama, Florida State, and Ohio State. You know, obviously we're not including Fresno State and Northern Illinois in that, but they don't matter anyway. Well,
I think
there would be some people who would disagree. They matter. Some people would disagree with me. But yeah, they do matter, but not in terms of the national championship picture. So it's now down to three.
And you know where I stand, Will.
Well, I know where you stand. I think that Florida State is a lock to win their next two games. I think Ohio State is a lock to win their remaining games. Alabama might be the big question mark here.
Right. I've already said I think Auburn wins that game. I really do.
Yeah. The only thing with Ohio State is the Big Ten championship game has been decided about like who's playing who. Regardless of what happens in the Ohio State-Michigan game, Michigan State will play Ohio State in the championship game.
Also to mention that Iowa defeats Michigan today. 24-21. So Michigan is already only 7-4. Mm-hmm. That is not really where they wanted to be. But if you look early in the season, Michigan could be a lot worse. They won several games early against subpar teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you remember, they played Akron, I think, week two and beat them 24-21. Beat them by a field goal or a touchdown. I mean, it was close game. Akron was driving and could have won the game on the last play. So Michigan is not really nearly as good as they thought they were.
Yeah.
And if you are a Michigan fan right now, this has got to be just absolutely eating your insides out. Because your rival in-state that you don't even think anything about, Michigan State, now is 10-1 and undefeated in the Big Ten. That's huge for Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio, hats off to what he's done at this program. He has made them better than Michigan. Michigan State is a lot better than Michigan right now.
Yeah,
they destroyed them in the game. And I think, honestly, Michigan State has a good chance against Ohio State in that championship game.
Yeah, that'll be a really fun one to watch, for sure. Now, they still have to get by Minnesota, who is ranked down. Did Minnesota win today?
I believe they did.
They did not win. They lost to Wisconsin. So they will no longer be ranked any longer. But still it's not a pushover for Michigan State, but they should win that game, and you should have a really good matchup. No matter what, it's going to be Michigan State versus Ohio State. So something, just games to keep your eye on as the season wraps up.
Right, and really, Michigan State is one fluke game against Notre Dame away from being in the national titles picture.
Oh yeah,
they lost the game at Notre Dame. It was 13-17 early in the season. They win that game. They're right there. They are number 5 in the country, probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, Andrew, let's go straight into are very exciting. Oh, did you have something else first?
I did have one thing. I don't know if you knew this, Will, but our good buddy Mike Leach out way out there in Washington, out there.
Haven't spoken
in Pullman.
About him in a while.
Yeah. Well, I got a call from our friends out there in Washington saying that they were really close, and we didn't mention it on the last podcast, but the deal has been done, and they've extended Mike Leach's contract out there at Washington State. So he's going to be there through the 2018 season. And right after that was done earlier this week, Mike Leach leads the team, Washington State, to a victory today, and they are now bowl eligible. So when Mike Leach took over this team, they hadn't been to a bowl since 2003, I believe.
Wow.
And in 2 years, he gets them to their 6-5 right now. They still have one more game against Washington. I mean, they could win the game. They have a pretty high-profile offense, obviously. I mean, they're going to a bowl. So hats off to them. What Mike Leach has done really turned that program around. And this really is just the beginning.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, let's get into our games this week. Let's start. And there's a lot of snoozers out there. So, you know, walk around, maybe get some coffee. Now's the
intermission
time
right
here.
Yeah,
this could be like we could maybe put a little bit of music on, and then you can come back, and we'll be ready to go. Yeah, there you go. That's our intermission music. So glad you're back. Fourth and Short podcast. I'm Will Patton, joined by Andrew Brown. Okay, let's just straight into it. Old Dominion and UNC. This game, Andrew, was close.
Yes, for about 1 minute.
Well, okay. Let's be honest. It was a 1-point game after the first quarter. And then after the third quarter, that lead for UNC was multiplied by 60. So that's big swing in two quarters.
Yeah, and I really wonder why North Carolina, you know, took the foot off the gas there in the fourth quarter and didn't try and go for 100.
See, that's if you have 80 points in the third quarter, which they did. I mean, what else are you playing for this season? You get out there and try to get some more points and put your starters all in and try to go for 100. Beat the snot out of Old Dominion. Who cares?
Well, I think that the Tar Heel fans who want a shot at Duke next week probably would disagree with you. But like you said, this game was really never close.
Carolina, it was close in the first quarter. You got to give him that. It was 14-13 at the end of the first quarter.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want to do any disservice to Old Dominion and their alumni and fans.
We have a lot of Old Dominion listeners on this podcast.
They're nice and friendly. Anyway, no disrespect to the Monarchs, but North Carolina was obviously the better team. They did what Florida should have done to Georgia Southern, a 1AA team. I just don't know why North Carolina is able to do this against this subpar competition. It's been an up-and-down year for them. I don't know. I don't really know what to make of North Carolina. They'll get to a bowl game and probably put some billboards up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And if look at it this way, if they win next week, they'll have a 5-3 record, which if Virginia Tech... If Virginia Tech and Miami win, that'll mean that there's five teams in the division that are at 5-3. Last year they were at 5-3 and had the tie for the Coastal, and they put up the billboards. Will they do it this year? Will they get rings this year if they go 5-3 and tied in a five-way tie? Do you think they'll still do it?
Why not? They got the money.
I guess so.
Make some rings, yeah. We'll spend our money on that. Yeah. I don't know. Look, I think the problem here, or I don't know if it's a problem, but if they win against Duke, they're going to be the dark horse team for next year.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not they're good or if they lose all their starters, they're going to be the dark horse team for next year, just like NC State was this year. And I don't really think, I'm not bought into UNC yet. I don't really know. I think that they can beat the subpar teams. I'm just not sure they're there yet to where they can compete with a lot of the elite level ACC teams.
Yes, I agree.
And we'll see that next week. We'll see if Duke is better. I think Duke is better, and I think Duke will win the game next week.
Yeah, I think so too. So the next game, Andrew, now that we're talking a little bit about Duke, is Duke versus Wake Forest. And
right.
Duke is just so good about coming back in games. You look at this game, and Duke was down early. They got down 14-0, and they tied it up. They lost the lead again, and then just came back. Scored two touchdowns in the third quarter. Go by a touchdown. They held on to the lead in the fourth, and they come away with another win. And that's 9 wins for them. I mean, if you're a Duke fan, you got to be really excited about that.
I think they're partying like they were in 1941, Will.
And why do you say that?
Because the last time Duke had that many wins, 9 wins, was 1941. And if they win next week against UNC, that will be 10 wins. The first time in school history they have ever had 10 wins. Let that sink in for a second. What David Cutcliffe has done at Duke, no coach has ever done in their school history.
That's really incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely
that's
incredible.
Very, very incredible. Yeah. So, if you're a Duke fan...
Some people were saying... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm saying, if you're a Duke fan, be excited. Because
right.
this is
go to
this
the game.
Is the height. You've never been here before.
Right. And, you know, I really hope that if Duke wins next week, they will sell out their allotment, go to the ACC championship game, for goodness
it's
sake.
It's in Charlotte. I mean, it's not yeah. that far of a drive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that far of a drive. Just go to the game and really make the game look good on TV. I just say, David Cutcliffe, in my opinion, ACC Coach of the Year. And he's got to be consideration for some National Coaches of the Year also.
Several years, I believe. How many years has he been with Duke?
He's been there 6 years. This is his sixth season.
So it's finally starting to pay off for them. And who knows? I mean, will this translate into, you know, a good season next year? I don't know. It's yet to be determined. But for right now, they're doing very, very well for themselves.
Right. Absolutely.
Next game is Virginia at Miami. Now, Virginia was keeping it a little bit close there for a while, but in the end couldn't quite close the door close it in anyway, and Miami wins this one relatively easily.
Right, they do, and if you look at it though, Will, statistically, Miami had 304 total yards. Virginia had 483 total yards, and they turned the ball over 4 times.
Wow. Kind of sounds very similar to the game they played against the Jackets earlier.
Right.
Where it was the Jackets that were turning over the ball a bunch, but able to stay in it because of, you know, of a decent offense.
Right, absolutely. And you can't feel good if you're a Miami fan about only getting 304 yards and you're having your defense give up that much, but you're able to do that against Virginia because Virginia just is sloppy. And you've got one more game next week, and potentially, I mean, if the cards fall the right way, you could be in the ACC championship game, but you're still kind of reeling. You know, you get a win, you needed to get a win, but you still didn't look great today, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. The next game is the Citadel at Clemson. Kind of what you'd expect. Clemson
kind
runs away with it.
Yeah,
no problem. Nothing really to talk about. They have, you know, obviously a tune-up game for their big game against South Carolina next week. But good win for Clemson, you know. FCS team, I mean, there's nothing really else to say.
Yeah, good win for Senior Day. Good win, Taj Boyd, Senior Day. Good for him.
Yeah, good way to go out. And, you know, Clemson fans love Taj Boyd over there, and he's been, you know, really good for them. And, you know, I'm sure all of those fans will be sad to see him go, that being his last home game. So.
Right, absolutely.
Next game, East Carolina at NC State. We called NC State to lose this game. Andrew, we were correct.
Oof. Yeah, I am embarrassed if you go back and listen to those podcasts early on in the season, but I really thought NC State was kind of a sleeper team this year. Nothing has gone right for NC State. This is a season that when it ends after next week, I think most NC State fans will be ready for it to be over, and I don't think they're going to be going back and watching the tapes on many of these games. They just can't get it together. This was not a good game for them. This was a home game, and they lost. It's just the wheels, they came off long ago.
Yeah, they definitely did. They definitely did.
And nothing against East Carolina. I mean, East Carolina is, I mean, they got a 9-2 record, so, I mean, that's good for them and what Ruffin McNeil has done over there at East Carolina. I mean, hats off to that program. But I think it's just mainly that at the beginning of the season, when looking at the players that they had and what they did last year, that I really thought they could break out. It just has not worked out that way.
Next game, Andrew, Pittsburgh at Syracuse.
Ooh, this was a tight game.
This was a good game. I mean, we kind of figured that this might be a close one, and the two teams coming over from the Big East playing for old time's sake, I guess you would say, and they made it an interesting game. You can't really say it came down to the end because nobody scored in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But final score 17-16, Pittsburgh wins. Pittsburgh is now bowl eligible. Syracuse, they have their one game away. Can they do it? I don't know.
I doubt it.
Against Boston College, going to be close.
Yeah,
but Pittsburgh, good win, and probably, you know, to be quite honest, I didn't watch any of this game, but probably a pretty entertaining game considering.
Entertaining if your enjoyment is defensive struggles where offenses don't really seem like they got it together.
Yeah, and there's a niche for that.
Yes.
Good job, Pittsburgh, bowl eligible, pretty. First season in the ACC,
right? Know, absolutely,
right down the middle, just shooting for that mediocre status. Good, you know, that's the way to do it here in the ACC. So fitting right in. Yeah. Next game on the list is Alabama A&M at Georgia Tech. Kind of like the Citadel Clemson game and the Old Dominion UNC game. What's there to say about this game? Georgia Tech wins easily. They score 66 points. Good, I guess. Does that mean anything? I don't know. They had a bunch of points. They had more than 50 points at halftime, and then our third string played the entire second half. There was a lot of players that I'd never even heard of that were playing in the game late in the game. So, good job. Again, tune-up game, getting ready for Georgia. No one got hurt, as far as I know, so that's probably the best news that we could have heard.
Right. I would say the one thing I really wish we would have seen a little bit of more of the diamond and the pistol.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a tune-up of that. Maybe you don't really want to show it. I don't know, but I didn't really see any of that.
It is kind of weird. I guess it's something that, I don't know. We ran it a bunch earlier in the season. We've seen it sparingly throughout. You got to wonder if it's something that Paul Johnson has kind of abandoned and
right.
He just wants to go back to his normal way of doing things. I don't really know. One thing that I did notice in this game that was interesting, and then we actually did it against Clemson as well, but when we got up to the goal line, we put Sinjin Days under center to run, I guess, kind of, you know, within the 10-yard line in designed run packages. Instead of putting in, you know, Baddeley or Justin Thomas, we put in Sinjin Days, who I guess is a better runner in those types of situations than the regular quarterbacks are. So, and he did score a touchdown. He scored a touchdown against Clemson, and he scored a touchdown in the second quarter of the game, on Saturday. So, you know, that's not something that we'd seen earlier in the season. So just another adjustment that we've made. Kind of similar, a little bit similar to what Duke is doing with Brandon Kinnett, bringing
right.
him in these types of situations. So maybe, you know, maybe Paul Johnson's learning something from David Cutcliffe, but we'll see if it pays off against Georgia next week.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if you see that. I mean, he is a good runner and he's a big guy, so I think it's a interesting adjustment, and we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah. Defense played well. You know, they didn't – for a while there, it didn't look like we were going to give up a first down. They finally got a first down late in the second quarter. But, you know, good showing by our defense. Lots of guys carried the ball for the Jackets today. I can't even count all these. There's probably 15 guys that carried the ball for the Jackets. So everybody got a chance to play in this one. Next game, Andrew, Boston College at Maryland. Our favorite team, the Maryland Terrapins.
Right.
Andrew, I've made a huge mistake.
I tried to warn you, Will. I tried to warn you.
You
and
tried
actually,
to tell
me. I didn't really want to warn you too much because I needed to catch up to you.
Yep. I picked Maryland in this game. What was I thinking? Boston College wins this game, and Maryland loses. It was a close win, though, Andrew. 29-26, final score. Field goal at the end of the game to win it for Boston College. And, Andrew, there was a very rare instance in this game.
Right. It's funny because earlier this season I was explaining this play to my wife, and I said, this is something I've always wanted to see. I've always knew it was possible, but I've never actually seen it happen where a team blocks an extra point, recovers the ball, and runs it back to the other end zone for a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
And in this game it happened. They were up, or Boston College was up 26-24, about to take the extra point. And if they just kick that, then they're up 27-24, so they're up by a field goal. Instead, Maryland blocks the extra point, runs it back for two, and it's a tie ball game.
That is
incredible.
That is awesome. Yeah, that is really, really cool to see. So, yeah, I'm not sure how many times it's happened in college football. I mean, I'm sure it's happened quite a bit.
It has happened, but it is rare.
Yeah, it is somewhat rare. It's not something that you see every week. So, very cool. And a long field goal is what it was for Boston College. They hit a 52-yarder to win it. So
at the end of regulation.
Yeah, at the end of regulation. So very impressive. Even though this was a relatively, not high scoring, but kind of a medium scoring game, not a whole lot of yards on either team. Well, I guess Boston College had a respectable amount of yards, but Maryland only 278 total yards.
Wow.
So not much doing for them. So this might be, it's kind of the last, you know, hoorah for Maryland when it comes to conference play. They play one more game against NC State, but that you could hardly call that a game. I think even you may pick Maryland in that one, Andrew.
I'm probably will.
Yeah, we'll see. But either way, you pick up a game on me. Last game in the ACC, Idaho at Florida State. I feel like Idaho is a little in over their heads in this one.
Well, you know, the coach of Idaho is Paul Petrino, Bobby Petrino's brother.
Oh, well, how about that?
So it's just double fun to win this game.
Now, Idaho is a bad team. They're 1-10.
Yeah.
Going up against Florida State. Ugh. This, I mean, what? Okay. I understand why we're playing these games, but why are we playing these games? This is stupid.
You got to fill the schedule somehow.
It's stupid. Let's figure out a way to you know, make this work a little bit better. I mean, there's no reason why the Vandals should be playing the Seminoles in this game.
Well, you've got to pad the schedule, and I don't think this kind of game is ever going to go away, because what if you had scheduled Oklahoma State at this point in the season? You play that game. If you lose, you're out of the national title picture. You win this game, and it doesn't hurt you in any way. So,
yeah,
it's never going to go away. That's just the way it's going to be.
I mean, you're right. You're right. It's, you know, it's not
it's fun, not
to fun watch.
For the fan.
No, no. I mean, I was even thinking, you know, while Georgia Tech was beating the snot out of Alabama A&M, I mean, it's just like, this game is boring. I mean,
right.
It's like, we
and everybody's playing
yawn.
These games this week.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Either way, FSU wins. Maintaining their number two in the nation status, most likely. And that does it for the ACC. Now moving on to the SEC. First game, Mississippi State at Arkansas.
Arkansas is just not a very lucky team. I don't know how much of this game you watched, but
not very much.
Yeah, so Mississippi State is going down. No, I apologize. Arkansas is driving down the field. They hit a big pass play to get in the, I think they're like the 15 or the 12, and they just need to kick a field goal because there's about 4 minutes to go in regulation, and their defense has been kind of stuffing Mississippi State the whole game. So they're in field goal range. They cough up the ball, turnover. I mean, they were about to win the game, and they turn the ball over. Mississippi State gets the ball back. They can't do anything on offense. Game goes to overtime. Mississippi State wins in OT. It's just been a really bad season for Arkansas. Nothing seems to be going their way.
Yeah. So they have lost an incredible 8 straight.
Yeah.
And they're 0-7 in the conference. They will be 0-8 after they lose to LSU, which they will lose next week in that game. So, man,
yeah.
Very, very rough. Very rough season for Arkansas.
It shows how quickly the wheels can come off a program. When Bobby Petrino was there last season, they were preseason top 10.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And now they can't win a game in the conference. So that shows how quickly it can come unravel. And I think shows what a good coach Bobby Petrino is, because he's gone and Arkansas just is not even there.
Next few games we can go through pretty quick. Coastal Carolina at South Carolina. South Carolina wins easily 70-10. Not even close. Do you have anything to say about this game?
I don't know what state Coastal Carolina is.
it's in the coast of Carolina.
Oh, okay. Well, they didn't show up for this game, and I kind of understand why. They didn't have a chance. It really kind of sets up the stage. South Carolina Clemson, I don't really know who to pick in this game. Both teams have looked pretty good, and then they've both had games where they just didn't show up. So it'll be a really good game in the Palmetto State, in my opinion. I think that's going to be one of the better matchups between these two teams this year.
Oh, yeah, I agree. That'll be a fun one to pick. Next game is Georgia Southern at Florida. We already talked about this game. We did get this one wrong. I told you at the beginning, Andrew, that I went against my better judgment and picked Florida to win this game. I'm very upset at myself. We both picked Florida. Georgia Southern wins. Very exciting finish. Good win for them, as we said earlier. Next game, Chattanooga at Alabama.
As much as I like the Mocs, they didn't really have a chance in this one, did they?
No. 49-0. Kind of what you would expect from Alabama in this game. And this kind of poses an interesting question, Andrew, because Auburn had the whole week off.
Right.
And Bama's playing Chattanooga, which is basically the kind of like a scrimmage game. I guess, you know, a more organized scrimmage game. What would you prefer? Would you prefer to have a whole week off or play Chattanooga beforehand?
I would take the off week, absolutely. In an off week, you don't have to prepare for anybody else. And
yeah.
I'm sure you didn't have to do a lot of game planning for Chattanooga, but you still had to look at game film and see where should we line up, what kind of plays should we run. I mean, you still have to do some game planning. Whereas Auburn, the only thing they've been doing is preparing for Alabama. So if you give me the off week, that's what I would choose every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, definitely. So that will, and we already know what you're gonna pick in that game, Andrew.
Right.
But
I'm on record.
It's on record. That'll be one of the big ones to look forward to next week. Next game, Andrew, is an interesting one. Texas A&M at LSU. Now we both picked the Aggies in this one. But we were wrong.
Yeah, I'm scratching my head watching this game. Johnny Manziel just was completely taken over. The defense at LSU did not give him anything. And you watch the game, Manziel gets a lot of protection. And he had tons of time to throw the ball. But the receivers out there, the secondary for LSU, was just completely shutting down those receivers. I was just shocked at how poorly Texas A&M played.
Yeah, Manziel went 16 for 41, one touchdown, two interceptions. Man, that's not what a Heisman Trophy winner does.
No, not at all.
Obviously, Johnny Manziel is going to be in the Heisman conversation for this year, but
sure.
It's games like this that could really knock him down quite a bit.
Right. So. Yeah, I don't think there's any way he wins it again.
Yeah, I don't think
I really
so
don't.
Either. The off-the-field stuff is kind of a, you know, that's been enough to do that.
But, right.
Playing this battle in this game is, you know, that'll contribute as well. Next game, Andrew, Vandy at Tennessee. Now, we picked Vandy, and that was a good pick. You got to wonder what's going through the heads of Tennessee fans right now.
This is the first time since I think it's like the 1910s or the 1900s that Tennessee will be three straight.
Is that what you call it?
I think it's
the 1900s.
The aughts, huh. Yeah. Back in
aught, something new every day.
Yeah, aught seven. Back in aught seven. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was back when, you know, they were watching the old Gene Autry films and, you know.
Wait, no. That's way before then.
Listen,
Gene Autry.
Listen, he was a cult figure there for a while.
I think Gene Autry was born, like, what year is the aughts?
Like, 07? We call them the millennials, but they didn't call them that back then. I just threw in the Gene Autry thing for a joke. I don't really know what happened in 1907. I wasn't alive then. There were cowboys back then, though, I think. And I knew he
interesting fact, Gene Autry was born in 1907. I just looked it up.
There you go.
So they were watching him from birth, I'm guessing, is what you're saying.
That's disgusting. But... There were cowboys back then, I think. Maybe, when did Doc Holliday and the whole Tombstone thing happen? That was like somewhere around there.
Don't come to us for early 1900s history outside of football.
No, we don't know what they were doing then.
Oh, anyway.
Right.
Where were we?
So... basically, this is the first time since the aughts that Tennessee has had three straight losing seasons.
I wonder if there's any surviving Tennessee fans that remember those three seasons and then therefore can relate, you know, with the younger generation of Tennessee fans.
Well, Will, I don't know how much math you've done, but the aughts would be over 100 years ago, and if anyone was actually to remember that, that would put them in the, what, 110s or 120s, so
I think
they might
sounds
be gone.
Reasonable,
right?
Oh, okay.
So this is not good for Tennessee. I watched some of the game, and they showed lots of crowd footage. I mean, because the game was at Tennessee, so they're showing pictures of the crowd after Tennessee just made a bad play, and people were out there shaking their head and hands on their. Over their faces, so they're not a happy bunch, and they have reason to be. I mean, this was not a good game. They had 237 total yards of offense, 53 passing yards. That's pretty bad. 4-13 on third down, 3 turnovers. Vanderbilt tried to give them the game. They turned the ball over 4 times. It just not a good season for Tennessee. They'll at least get a chance to beat Kentucky next week, which I think they'll do. But 5-7, you know.
Not going to a bowl.
Yeah, not going to a bowl. Not going to a bowl. And, you know, Vandy scored their second touchdown. Vandy scored their first touchdown right there at the beginning of the game and didn't score again until, what, a minute to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan, you're pretty upset. Pretty upset with that.
Yeah, definitely. Next game on the list is Kentucky at Georgia. We talked a little bit about Aaron Murray's injury and kind of what it means for UGA going forward.
Right.
But looking at this game...
Georgia had over 600 yards of offense.
Yeah, they looked really good. Now, Kentucky is an SEC team.
So they should have SEC speed, I think.
But they don't at all. Kentucky's not good.
Do they have ACC speed?
I don't even think they have Sun Belt speed.
Ooh, yeah, that's rough. Nothing against the Sun Belt.
No. Don't get me wrong. But you look at the wins on their resume this year. They've beaten Miami, Ohio.
Ooh, that's a juggernaut.
And they've beaten Alabama State.
Ah, yes. Yes. That's a... That's
and that's
win.
It. So
signature win there for Mark Stoops, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is, though, the worst, I guess when you look at the numbers-wise, their biggest loss of the year. So, but yeah, Georgia had over 600 yards, and Mason, as we said earlier, looked pretty good in this game. So maybe they'll just be, you know, they'll be fine without Murray, but You got to figure that's a big break for the Jackets if he is indeed out for the game next week. So
yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll play the game and see what happens. But it is bad for Murray. You hate to see that. Hopefully, the big thing is you hope that it doesn't really hurt his draft status.
I agree, because I think he'll be a good NFL quarterback.
Absolutely.
Next game, Missouri at Ole Miss. What's to say about this game? Missouri, they just keep on winning.
Yeah.
So
this is, look, I, for several straight weeks, have looked at that game against Texas A&M and said they've got no chance.
Yeah, but now that Manziel is not playing very well, who knows?
Yeah, watching Texas A&M tonight, I sat there and I thought, gosh, I think Missouri might have a chance. And I believe James Franklin is back now, so they should have a pretty good chance.
Yeah, so this game is in Missouri, so that helps out a lot.
Biggest game they've ever had there, pretty much.
Yeah, this might be. And then if they win this game, then they will go to the SEC championship game. Now, if they lose this game, then South Carolina goes. So this is a very, very important game. You got to look forward to it. It's a night game, 7:45 kickoff. I don't know where game day is going to be, but you got to figure that this one pretty high up on their radar.
Right.
Looking at importance going forward, you got to figure that Alabama-Auburn is probably going to be game day. But
right.
But this is a very, very important game for the SEC. The South Carolina fans, obviously, they'll be watching the Clemson game going forward, but that game kicks off at about the same time, about 7 o'clock. So as soon as that game's over, you know they'll be flipping channels to see what the you know.
They probably Missouri have their tablets, you know, their little iPhones, just kind of glancing
over
there.
Maybe
new
two
technology.
Teams at time. Yeah. Forgot about that kind of stuff. Well, that does it for the picks for this week. The wrap up. Andrew, you went 15-2. I went 14-3. You pick up a game. I'm still up by one. I have 157-39 losses. You're 156-40. So very, very close going into the final week of the season.
Comes down to the wire.
Well, it depends on, I mean, we're going to go through bowl season and championship season, right?
I don't watch all those bowls. You really think I'm going to watch the GoDaddy.com bowl?
I mean, you might. I don't know. I mean,
I'm not going to watch that game.
What else are you going to do on a Tuesday night? I mean, you don't got anything else going on.
Look, I might play Bonanza with my wife.
No one plays Bonanza anymore.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, actually, Bonanza is an outstanding game.
It is.
Should play it.
But that's for our other podcast on card and board games.
Yeah. We have one of those, too, so be looking out for that.
Yeah.
Different theme song, though. Different theme song.
Yeah, it's a little more folksy.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, everybody, with that, we are done. A little bit behind the scenes that you may not realize, we had some technical difficulties in this one, so
it's good to be done.
Yeah, it's good. 4 hours in, it's good to be done. It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's been a long night.
Central time, so you know how bad that is.
I had to go to the put some, reconnect some power lines and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
At least I can say I've done it now, though.
Yeah. You learn something new every day. Every day.
That's true.
So, all right. Well, that's a podcast. Thank you for listening to the 4th and Short Podcast. Please continue emailing us at 4thandshortpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Will Patton. I'm joined by
Andrew Brown.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.